Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thanks for hanging around with me today. It's my pleasure to be part of your day. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, that's the long one. If you don't like to type, here's the short one, jbsba.com. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And I think you'll like it. It comes every week. My newsletter comes every week on Sunday. Get your upcoming week started off on the right foot. And also, don't forget all the other things you can do there, including listen to archives and read articles that are of interviews that were conducted by me and our good friend and our guest this half hour, Jeffrey Dobkin. And also, his articles are there. Many of those are there. He's all over our website. And he's the author of Uncommon Marketing Techniques and this one that gives me a tennis elbow every time I pick it up, How to Market a Product for Under $500. It weighs about 8 pounds. Jeffrey Dobkin, welcome back to the show.
Thanks so much. Hey, don't you ever take a day off.
What is that?
You got so much going on. It's amazing. A newsletter every week. I thought about having a newsletter. Too much work.
Yeah. You're right about that.
Yeah.
Don't forget, I have a syndicated column, too.
Oh, my God.
And
I wrote an article.
And on Tuesdays, I sleep at night.
Every other Tuesday.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote an article entitled, Thinking of Starting a Newsletter, Don't.
You really did, didn't you?
I did. It's a long article. It runs, I guess, about 2,500 words.
Oh, my.
And if anybody wants it, I will send it to them by email if they email me at jeff@dobkin.com.
Now, do you actually try really hard to talk people out of doing a newsletter?
I do.
Yeah.
Because it's so much work, and you have to be with such good frequency. Otherwise, you know, people that are just sending a newsletter once a year or twice a year, they're just deluding themselves into saying this is working. You really need to have some continuity in a newsletter. So I go through, you know, all the stuff, why do it. I give it my other recommendation, which is if you want to get a piece out in the mail 3 or 4 times a year, do it with a personal letter. And that's my recommendation. But then that, notwithstanding, after all that, I do give all the parameters of how to create a successful newsletter.
Well, that's good. And the thing is, you're right, it's not for everybody. But the thing and the thing is it can look different. It can be different. It can. Mine involves a feature article and then another short piece, and the schedule for my show. But it could, and it comes every week, as you mentioned, and as I mentioned, and we're now in our fifth year on that. But the thing is that it's a major commitment for me, and I have, you know, I do it every week, but this is what I do, and for people who the writing is not what they do, but they still want to reach their customers. Newsletters are good. They just have to say, okay, what is my newsletter need to look like? And so where I may publish, you know, anywhere from 1,200 to 2,000 words total in terms of the content a week, they might only need to publish 200 words once a month or every other month.
Well, every other month you start to lose that continuity that you would like to have in reaching people consistently.
But remember, my newsletter is for people to, as you say, to have consistency, and it's all about the content. Their newsletter might just be about reminding people that you're there and giving them a tip. And so it might not be something that they, you know, that they depend on. It's just be nice to hear from you, if you see what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, and that's right. But I still recommend a letter, just a simple letter, a personal letter. It looks like it went from one person to the other, went from you to them. Mm-hmm. Nobody else in the world got it, or it doesn't look like they did. And I think that's a more powerful vehicle. Now, you can't do it by email because then, you know, they know a million people got it.
Right.
But if you get a letter in the mail and it says, you know, I was thinking about you, And thank you so much for the business you gave us in the past year. We have a couple new things. If you'd like to call and talk about it, that would be great. If not, hey, you know what? Thanks so much for everything you've done. And you need to get in and out. You do that every few months. I mean, when's
you're
the last
right.
time you got a letter like that?
You're exactly right. No, that I don't disagree with that at all. That's a great way to do business. It always has been. I think it always will be. But one of the things about that is it's less automated than, say, the email alternative. And so they're both tools. It's just like, you know, when you go to a mechanic's, when you look in a mechanic's environment, he's got lots of different wrenches for lots of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're both of them have their place. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Jeffrey's going to talk to us about how to market our inventions. How do we get off on the newsletter thing there, Jeff?
That's a great topic.
20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
She's got it.
Sitting in the morning sun. I'll be sitting.
We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Watching the ships roll.
Thanks for hanging around with me today. Jeffrey Dopkin is our guest. He's the author of Uncommon Marketing Techniques and How to Market a Product for Under $500. Both of those books are available at his website, I think. Jeff, is that right?
You can read probably about a third of one of my books on my website, which is Dopkin.com. But you know what? If you type in How to Market a Product for Under $500 in a search engine, my name comes up to the top.
All right. You can find that at Jeffrey's site. And if they buy both of them, you'll give them a discount, won't you?
If they mention your name, I will.
All right. Don't forget to do that. He won't hang up on you, I promise, folks. All right. Let's talk about, let's get over into this topic of marketing, this thing that we've created, this idea, this invention, this new idea that we've got. How do we, what are some of the reasons that people actually have good ideas, but they never get off the ground?
Well, some things you can't market, and people forget that. I get stuff across my desk all the time. If I get one more person saying, hey, you know what? If they just put the toothpaste inside the toothbrush when we travel, we'd have a heck of a product. And you know what? It's a great idea, but you can't market it.
Yeah, why?
Because you can't go up against Crest and Colgate, and you can't get distribution into supermarkets.
Yeah.
You just can't, you know, unless you come in with a quabillion dollars and your name is Bill Gates.
Right.
That product is too high entrance barriers to that marketplace.
I had a guy came to my office years ago when I was a consultant, and he wanted to create a new soft drink. And he didn't like Coke. He didn't like Pepsi. He had a flavor in his mind that he wanted to make. And he actually thought he could come in and you know, and of course, you know, if Pepsi wanted to make a new flavor, they could do that.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy had no money. And he actually thought he could do that. I mean, you and I both don't want to put the squelch on somebody's dream. I mean, what if somebody had done that to, as you said, you mentioned a minute ago, to Bill Gates or to Stephen Jobs or Henry Ford? What if somebody had done that? But there's certain things that just, you know, are not possible. And breaking into a major market like the soft drink business with no money, that ain't happening.
Very, very tough. Very tough. Well, I will say it's interesting that now they're starting to market stuff lower carbs and lower sugars,
mm-hmm.
because I guess the anti-sugar regime is starting to come out.
Right.
So,
yeah.
I like that.
What are some other things? Some other reasons?
Some other things that mean you can't market it?
Mm-hmm.
High entrance barriers. The cost is in. You can't make it for the right cost. No. Here's one of the big ones, and that is no discernible powerful differences from what's on the market.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if you had a toothbrush and you said, you know what, it would be so great if this toothbrush, if the hairs on the toothbrush were a 16th of an inch longer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just don't have enough that people are going to say, oh, that's so different, I'm going to get it.
See, that actually reminds me of the soft drink story I was saying. I mean, the guy was just, he just wanted one off, a flavor one off from Pepsi or Coke.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a big difference. It was just he didn't like exactly the way they were making their product. And you're right. I mean, you've got to be able to wow people a little bit, don't you?
And differentiate them enough to drive them away from the other brand. I mean, people have been drinking Coke and Pepsi all their lives.
Right.
So if you're just a smidgen off, that ain't going to work, unless you're Dr. Pepper.
You know, Jeffrey, there is something going on right now, though, in the marketplace that I think is pretty cool, just so people don't think that I'm a wet blanket on people's ideas. And that there are people out there all over the country who are bottling small quantities of food products like salsas and barbecue sauces and salad dressings and things like that. You know, Aunt Susie's barbecue sauce, Aunt Susie's chutney or whatever it might be.
Uh-huh.
And the reason is because there are these little bottling organizations, these little kitchen type of things that are popping up around the country where people can go in and they can bottle a couple of hundred bottles and then take them they literally go to the grocery stores and talk the grocery stores into putting them on the shelves.
Yes,
so that is actually happening right now.
Yes, it is. And it's you know where it's happening. It's not so much in the big Piggly Wigglies and Acme's. By the way, how'd they ever get the name Piggly Wiggly?
I have no idea.
Let's sit around. Let's call it Piggly Wiggly.
Yeah, I think I would have tried to talk them out of that myself, but anyway.
But anyway, they go to the small food shops, the specialty stores, who don't carry the major brands. And they say, we've got a brand, we're only making, 200 bottles a month of this, and we'd like you to sell it. And so they go to the little bagel shops. They go to the little specialty gourmet shops, and it's through those that these entrepreneurs get a chance.
So the importance, then, what you're saying is it's not just that you got to have a product that people want. You got to make sure you find the right channel to get your product
out. Right. And the right distribution and the right retailers.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, absolutely.
And the price point is important too, isn't it?
I think it is. But it's not always the lowest price that wins out.
But that's what my point is when I say price point, I don't mean low price point.
Yeah, that's right, Jim. Uh-huh. Sometimes a higher price point means that it's more of a specialized item.
And that's the essence, in my opinion, of how small business owners can succeed. I think way too many times we think we need to lower our prices when maybe we just need to raise our prices. And that, believe it or not, more times than you'd be surprised how many times that could be the answer. Tin Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Jeffrey Dobkin.
It's a beautiful morning. I think I'll go outside for a while.
We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. Don't forget, coming up in the next hour, Phyllis Martin and Jorian Clark are going to join us. Looking forward to getting those two fine ladies back on the show. Jeffrey Dobkin is our guest. We're talking about lots of different things and started out talking about newsletters, and now we're talking about, we have been talking about how to market your idea, your invention, your this thing that you think you've created that's better than anything else. Jeffrey, you do a lot of direct marketing, and I think it's appropriate to mention that on this day in 1872, I'm not making this up, folks, on this day in 1872, the first mail order catalog was distributed. It was a one sheet of paper catalog by Montgomery Ward. How about that?
Jim, whatever you hear, I had nothing to do with it.
One sheet of paper. That's in 1872. That's pretty cool. So all from that, Jeffrey, basically the mail order business got started. And
it was,
and that's part of how you make your living, isn't it?
It is. I do a lot of direct mail. I love direct mail. It's one of my great passions, and it's a lot of fun to put a lot of stuff in the mail and wait by your mailbox and see what comes in.
Is that a good way to market something that nobody's ever seen before? Like if I came up with something that I want to try to say is new and improved or differentiate it from something else, is direct marketing a good way to do it?
Well, I think it is. There's a couple of things that you have to note. One is you must have a very, very specific list of your buyers, and the other is the price point of your product has to be fairly substantial.
There's that price point thing. But now, what do you mean fairly substantial? You mean like people say, wow, this must be good if it costs that much.
No, I mean, it's got to be like your product probably should not cost under $60 to $100.
Oh.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's very tough to market through the mail, and I'll tell you why. And this is a way to figure out if your mailing is going to work before you mail it.
Mm-hmm.
Your cost to be in the mail is about, let's say, on a small mailing, 50 cents a piece.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 37 cents in postage. You got a few cents in the envelope. You got a little creative that goes in there.
Right.
So if you mail 1,000 of them, cost you $500.
Right.
Out of that 1,000 pieces that you mail, how many do you have to sell to break even, to make back $500, which is the cost you're mailing?
Right.
So if you have a $5 item and you got to sell 100 of them, that means you got to draw a 10% response to your mailing.
Mm-hmm.
That's very unrealistic.
Right. 4% is like a grand slam, isn't it?
4% would be a huge grand slam. I mean, I have mailers that would love to hit a percent and a half.
Right.
And that's probably what I would recommend. If you think you're going to get in the mail and sell more than a percent and a half or 2%, I don't think you are realistic. I
mm-hmm.
think that you got to, you know, you got to
come in.
So if
you send 1,000 out and you get 10 or 15 back, you've had a pretty good, good run.
So you got to, you have to make your money back on those 10 or 15.
And those 10 or 15 have to buy, don't they? They can't just call you
back.
That's right. They have to buy.
Right. Not just inquiries, but orders.
Right.
So if your product is priced at $100 and you get 10 sales, that's $1,000. And if you make 50% profit, so you made your $500 back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
but no money yet.
No money yet.
Right. The idea of the project is not to make your direct marketing budget back, but to actually make some money on top of that, right?
Yes, that's right. And the initial ones you can get by, you can say, well, you know, if we tweak our package and we tweak the list a little bit more, our next mailing will be successful.
Right.
And maybe there's going to be a straggler that comes in. All you need, the difference between 10 at break-even at $500 and 11 at $550, that one sale is significant.
Right.
Because now you made money, you made $50.
And one of the things you need to point out on your math there, that $50, $60, that's the profit. I mean, that can't be what your revenue is. That's got to be the profit because somebody's got to go to pay for the product.
Right.
So it actually has to be more than that. But the thing is, I think the key point that you're helping us with, Jeffrey, is the understanding the typical response rate to a direct marketing piece.
Right,
to help people understand how many, you know, what the economics are of a direct marketing campaign. It's very important to understand that, and a lot of people do direct marketing and never know anything about that.
One other thing, Jim, that I'd like to say is when you market a product, probably the most people ask me, the question most people ask is, how much does it cost to market this product? And the answer is, what is your sales goal?
Mm-hmm.
Because if you're trying to make $1,000, then it's going to cost you $100 to market it. If you're going to make $1 million, then it's going to cost you a lot more.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff. Good job today. Well done. Give us your website
so much
one more time.
Thanks for having me.
Give us your website one more time.
It's Dobkin.com, Dobkin.com. Also,
thanks,
DanielleAdams.com.
See you later. Quick break. I'll be back in a little bit. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.